You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We've seen what you can wonders, your power has no end. The things you've done before, in greater measure, you will do again. 'Cause there's no.
Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. David wrote in Psalm 145, verses 11 and 12, "They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom." That's the vision of Wednesday Live, to edify, inspire, to comfort, to encourage, and to bless you. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
No! And we want to welcome you to WCNO Wednesday Live. So glad you're joining us today. And we are running just a couple minutes here behind schedule. Had a little bit of a conversation with Ma and Paul this morning. Understand they're going to be joining us. And so we'll have a little bit of wisdom coming in from the, is it the barnyard or the farmyard?
Well, there, you got to turn me up. There we go. Yeah, it's both, actually.
It's both?
Both, yeah. They have a farm, and there's a barnyard.
At the farm.
Because there's a yard between the house and the barn. So,
well, you may not have tuned in to hear us talk about the barn or the farm, but Ma and Pa are going to be with us in the second half today. And incidentally, keep our good friend Jim Brocious, Pastor Brocious, lifted up. A little bit of a cold kept him out of coming in to join us today in studio.
Yeah.
So we'll be rescheduling him. He'll be coming a little later. However, we do have an awesome guest with us this morning. And I know you're all thinking that we're talking about David and Karen. No, they're called staff. So, Karen, you have any opening wisdom for us before we introduce our awesome guest that's here?
Opening wisdom. No, because I want to hear from our guests. So I'll save my wisdom for later on.
Barry Grant Marsh.
Yes?
Welcome.
Oh, thank you.
Welcome to WCNO. Have you been on WCNO before?
Yes, I have. I have been on WCNO.
Okay.
And I was on with a program early on Sunday mornings. And this was back around, I want to say, the late 90s.
90s, okay.
Yeah, and it was a half-hour program called Songs of Praise.
Okay.
And it was underwritten by a construction firm, Mosley & Sons Construction, and it was a half-hour, and it was broadcast over WCNO, and we delivered the show in its entirety, had a pastor who was actually the pastor for that
business,
yes. Mm. But he was a pastor in Stewart for many, many years.
Mm.
And so he would come in to my studio at home and record a message. And we would have a list of songs, and then we'd have the message in the middle, and then some
Excellent.
Outro of songs. And that was our show called wow. Songs of Praise. But it was songs on WCNO. Back in the late 90s, and it was a blessing to
who was the pastor
to me. It's been a while.
That's okay. Well, it some of you may remember we have listeners that have been listening since.
It was Brother Woody. Brother Woody.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Woody Watkins.
Woody Watkins.
Oh, yeah. Woody Watkins.
Everybody knows.
Well, yeah. I mean, Woody was a great musician as well, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. He was a terrific piano player. And of course, that was one of the things that I wanted to incorporate into each one of the Songs of Praise shows was one of the cuts off of his CD that he had. And, you know, the best is yet to come. That was his phrase, and that of course was the title of the album. Mm. And he had just some great gospel songs on there that he played a cappella. I guess if you just with the piano,
mm-hmm.
no other musicians were involved in the recording. It was just him and the piano.
Many people remember Woody, Pastor Woody, and also Mosley Construction's been a great blessing to the kingdom of God. And I know over the years we've had many different contacts with them as a business in town. And kind of an amazing thing for a business to have a pastor that's actually a pastor. I guess maybe in some settings in a hospital you'd expect to have some clergy as chaplains or whatever, but to have a business with a pastor that leads a devotional, and I don't know the current schedule of that, but I believe for many years that was, and maybe still, a part of their business, which is awesome. Well, that's great. So you were on air back in the 90s. Tom Creighton would have been here then, right?
Yes, he was.
Yeah, Tom was, just talked to Tom last night. Tom's doing well for all of those Tom Creighton friends that traveled the world with him.
Is he still collecting radios?
He is trying to downsize.
Ah.
You know, he has retired, and God blessed him with this large man cave, and it's filled with radios. I mean, you remember what we had, hundreds here, several hundred radios, antique radios, and Tom loved those, and he loved to tinker with them, and he was very gifted electronically to tinker with things. So he is still doing that. He's still selling radios, and he has room for his Harley. He has a couple cycles in his man cave, and he has a big screen TV and some leather couches. I know, I've been there. So, Barry, you are not new to broadcast.
No,
I have to tell you when I finished reading, we're going to be talking about a little bit about your life in the next few moments, and want to get right to that because you put a book out, published a book called Witness Tampering.
Yes.
And you dropped that by, I think it was my early days here coming in as a replacement for Tom, which I could never do, so I'm trying to find my own shoes, which they're still a little tight on my feet. But you dropped off this book, and I started into it, but I didn't get the whole thing read up until really this week in preparation. But I began to think about the significance, because the storyline on this book is my story of coming to Christ out of Jehovah Witness.
Yes.
And so God just began to put on my heart the importance of communicating truth to people so our listeners have some tools to know how to witness, how to pray for their own family and others they know, but also to be a positive witness. And when I read three generations, this is quite a story. We're going to jump right into it in a minute. But Barry is a second-generation veteran South Florida broadcaster who knew all those country stars, interviewed them, probably drank some sodas with them and maybe other things, and hung out, may have had a pizza or so with them.
Oh, yeah.
But looking at the pictures, thinking about, you know, some of our local yokels, you know, from Cannonball Run, and I worked in Jupiter for years, so
yes.
Bert's mom would come in her pink Cadillac, and that was before the pink Cadillacs were popular.
Yes.
She wanted everybody to know, my son bought this car for me, and she would come in, sweet lady. You know, I always thought it was so awesome. Bert was a strong family man, and he was a personal friend of yours involved, and so there's a lot of, you've just known a lot of great people.
And I met his mom and dad, so that was great.
And you were actually performing, what, out at the farm?
Yeah, I got the chance to be on stage with people like Jerry Reed, and my band came out and entertained the cast and crew of Smokey and the Bandit 2 when they finished all their filming. Yeah.
And Bert liked to do things around here. I know we would see him filming down in Stewart, or they would be in different places. My wife pulled it up this morning because I was asking questions, you know, how did he get into his career, and because you talk in the book about how he was very supportive of you.
Oh, yes, he was.
And so I could see that you really gave him some kudos there, that you had a relationship where it wasn't just about Bert.
No, it wasn't. I mean, he was really involved in the community. He was involved in our state. And he just shared himself. He really did.
So
on a great, great stage.
You've been involved in advertising, you've been involved in production, you've been involved in news programming, you own an advertising and marketing agency now, right?
Yes, yes.
BGM?
BGM Creative.
Okay, and if people wanted to get a hold of you and find out more about your book, it's not too early to lay out some information about that, how would they find you?
You could go to bgmcreative.com.
Okay.
And in fact, we have an entire page of our website devoted to the book and how and where it's available. It's available all over. I mean, just this past year, I was blessed to see that Walmart picked it up.
Fantastic.
So it's actually available in their bookstores online. You can, go on and look for Witness Tampering, My Story. I would suggest you use that as just a little extra to get to the right place there.
Get you connected.
Get you connected. And yeah, it's available. And it's available there. And Barnes & Noble has it. And, you know, Amazon. And it's on Kindle. And it's available in hard copy, hardback, which I brought a...
I didn't know there was a hardback.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you gave me one I could write in so I didn't feel like I was ruining, you know, somebody's retirement.
There you go. Paperback. And it's also available as a, you know, you can download the book and have it on your computer.
The Kindle or whatever.
Yeah,
so,
your Kindle.
Yeah, this would be a great gift, you know, to gift to someone that is perhaps being challenged. I have a buddy out in Colorado. I'm still looking for him to come with that full surrender to Christ. And he called me one day and he said, you know, I have these people that's coming up, you know, when I'm working in the yard, and they'll talk, and, you know, and he said, I just wondered if this is somebody I should be talking to. And I thought, okay, well, I know God's put him in my life to minister to, and he's kind of guarded and not totally open yet. Mm-hmm. But all of us have someone in our life that God's letting us have influence over. And so if you're a born-again Christian and you know the truth has set you free, this is one of those tools that would be awesome to equip others that might be exposed and may not know what you know. And I believe every believer could profit from this book. And we're going to get into it more, but I want to just say, you have won so many awards. I don't even know where to start. You have gold Addies. What is a gold Addy?
That's the highest award that anybody in advertising can achieve. It's from the American Advertising Federation. And, yes, that's a great, great honor, because you're judged by your peers, people that don't even know who you are. So it's not a click
buddy club. Yeah.
You know, so, you know, you can't say, oh, wow, thanks, Joe, for doing that. No, but it's always out of the area. Judges come in and then they make their decisions based on the criteria that's set forth by the American Advertising Federation National
Committee. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
And plus, you were president of something here in the Treasure Coast, American Advertising Federation?
Treasure Coast, yes. So I was the past president of that.
And tell me about that. What
that is a chapter of the national and regional organization, American Advertising Federation, and what it does is it gathers together people who are in advertising, whether it be you know, nonprofit organizations, whether it be you know, publishers of print advertising, or whether it be radio, television, or people who are just doing things like marketing for other people. Yes, that's the organization that you want to be a part of.
So we have to hit a little bit on all of your rubbing shoulders with the country music stars and WIRK.
The Country Music Authority.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. It was huge.
Yeah.
So what happened in those years?
I was able to touch so many people with, you know, my, you know, broadcasting career opportunities to interview them and talk about their latest work. You know,
who are some of the people you interviewed?
Oh, I interviewed people like Tom T. Hall was one of my favorites. Yeah, and Willie Nelson. Let's see, who else?
How about Dolly?
Dolly Parton. I got to sing with her on stage.
She came to Palm Beach in the 70s.
Yes, she came to Palm Beach in the 70s.
And you sang the closing?
Yes, she always closed her show with a gospel song. And here's this Jehovah's Witness on stage at the
with
time.
Dolly Parton.
Yeah, with Dolly Parton. And she says, I want you to sing the last song with me. And I said, really, Dolly? And she says, yes, really. And I said, are you holding something against me? And she says, no, I'm not holding anything against you. And I said, I wish you would. And then, of course, we just got together and started to sing May the Circle Be Unbroken.
Wow.
And the only part of that song that I knew was the chorus. That's it. So she sang all of the...
And you sang along with her, the
and
chorus.
And I sang along with her, yes. And that really did have a definite... She planted a seed that day.
Yeah. You had a number of seeds. We're going to hit on some of those.
Oh, yes.
You have an awesome family. I saw some pictures. Tell us about your family.
My dad and mom were brought into Jehovah's Witness organization on back in 1931, 32, somewhere around in there. They were 5 and 6 years old, and you know, that's when the Jehovah's Witnesses were using radio as a medium to get their message out in full force. They were using that, you know, that type of media,
wow,
to get their word out. And so they attracted a lot of attention with those meetings that they had in various cities. And that's where my parents ended up, you know, getting us involved in, it wasn't my parents, it was actually my grandparents.
Grandparents.
Yeah, my grandparents got involved. And of course, mom and dad had to go right out along with them there in separate families. The families, my mother's family and my father's family, lived 90 miles from one another in the same state of Ohio, but they would get, the family later on would get together at various assemblies of Jehovah's Witnesses. And, you know, that was how it got started. So, you know, I was the third generation Jehovah's Witness in my family, and I was about ready to raise my kids in that same organization as well. But so, praise the Lord, we all got out around 1980.
You all broke out.
Yes.
You all broke out.
We
but
did.
Your grandparents were actually from what maybe we'd consider mainline denominations as far as their families. I mean, they didn't start out Jehovah Witnesses.
This
came along. When was the Jehovah Witnesses started?
They were started back in 1879. That's when Jehovah's Witnesses. Yeah,
okay.
And you know, actually, the whole movement got started even earlier than that. But it wasn't formed into an organization until 1879.
Okay,
and then they started printing the Watchtower, and just that was how it got started. A guy by the name of Charles Taze Russell started it. And my family, as far back as I've gone, mostly Methodists.
Okay.
Methodists, yeah.
And we should just say, perhaps, even though I'm jumping into kind of the middle of the book, I'm going to jump around a little bit, so hopefully I don't confuse you too much. But the Jehovah Witnesses, we would recognize them as a cult, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And on page 26 of your book, you give four different characteristics. Of course, by this time, I'm jumping ahead because you ended up listening to Moody Radio.
Yes, I
You was. Ended up getting involved.
I was a big fan.
In their school, right?
Yes.
This was like an evening school or
yes,
something.
Yes, it was the evening school. Mm-hmm.
And so as a result of that, you ended up in a class that, were you actually taught by Dr. Robertson?
Yes.
And so his book on what the cults believe, that was the textbook then.
That was the first class that I took at Moody Evening School.
Wow, and how timely. Because by that point, God already had sent, and we want to talk about some of these divine interruptions because they're amazing. But you list four things here, and for people listening today, you may be listening today, you may have family members, or you may yourself be involved in what's a cult.
Mm-hmm.
And yet God has brought you to listen in today, so please don't change the dial. Keep it set at 89.9 because there are some foundational points that this book brings out that addresses what is a cult.
Yes.
You have four there.
They don't believe in the Trinity.
That's right, they do not.
And that's a mainstay in Christian, you know, Christian dogma and belief. We believe in a triune God.
Yes.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They don't believe in the deity of Jesus Christ.
That's huge. Mm. That's huge.
That is huge.
The whole thing of Michael, the Jehovah's Witnesses, they believe that...
He's Michael the Archangel.
Jesus is Michael the Archangel.
Yeah. He came to Earth and became man. Totally off base.
So the Trinity cults do not typically believe in the Trinity. They do not believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. And by that, we simply mean that Jesus was, is, and always will be God, always has been God, is God like God the Father and God the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Okay. And the third?
The personality of the Holy Spirit. They do not believe in the personality of the Holy Spirit. Do not believe
it's a force.
Yes, it's an act. It's God's active force.
This is what they believe.
It's like
they
the
do,
wind.
Yeah. So they do not have a. They do not believe the biblical truth.
Right.
In regards to Trinity, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, and what about the fourth point?
The fourth one is they do not believe in the immortality of the soul.
Now, exactly what is that about?
Well, the immortality, they don't believe in the immortality of the soul because they just believe in, you're just going, when you die, you're going to sleep, and that's it. There's no more activity after that for you. Your body's in the ground awaiting the resurrection, which they do believe in the resurrection. You'll be resurrected here on earth. And one of the wild things of the Jehovah's Witness early untruths
alternative facts.
One of the alternative facts of Jehovah's Witnesses was that they thought that the Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were going to be resurrected in 1925, and they were so sure of that they bought an elaborate,
like a mansion, right?
Mansion in California to house those people.
So Abraham,
Isaac and Jacob. Yeah, they were going to come.
They were going to come back. There's a number of prophetic positions they took that were not fulfilled, like the coming of Armageddon and such forth, right?
And the coming of Christ in 1914.
Yes.
They haven't gotten off of that yet. He came invisibly, you know.
Well, that's not what they say.
That's not right.
Yeah.
Where did he say, I've got to come back, but you won't see me? No. And every eye will see him.
Amen. Again, we have Barry Grant Marsh with us in studio today, and we're talking about his life, his journey to faith, three generations of Jehovah's Witnesses. His book is entitled Witness Tampering, and my story of coming to Christ out of Jehovah's Witnesses. One more time, how can people follow up with you, get a hold of you, and get your book? And
best way to do it is to look for bgmcreative.com on your computer. And that'll give you all a lot of information on how to get the book. But you can go on Amazon.com. You can go on Barnes & Noble. You can go on Walmart and check out Witness Tampering, My Story, Coming to Christ Out of Jehovah's Witnesses. It's available for you there. You can get it on Kindle. And I'm pretty active in a lot of social media, like Twitter.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I've got a couple of accounts. Couple of accounts on Twitter.
Okay.
So one of the accounts is, of course, BGM Creative.
Mm-hmm.
So you can follow me on that. And I wanted to say I'm so grateful for Twitter because it has allowed me to contact a lot of ex-Jehovah's Witnesses.
Wow, that's excellent.
Who, for one reason or another, are looking for books like mine.
Yeah, they're searching.
Stories like mine.
Searching.
You know, what happened to you after you left Jehovah's Witnesses? Because there's really some really difficult stories that I have heard from those ones who I've been able to follow on Twitter. And they follow me, and it's just really heartbreaking to see some of the abuse that they have
received. Huge abuse.
Just
tragic,
terrible.
Tragic division in families. Unbelievable condemnation,
right,
and judgment, criticism that takes place.
The shunning.
Yeah, all of that. Okay, yeah. So your three generations, we've jumped around a little bit because I know listeners are popping in for a moment and then they're gone. But you're a child, your parents, your grandparents, Jehovah's Witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't easy, was it?
No. No, it was not an easy, as much as my parents and my grandparents, who were, you know, very, very attentive and very much looking after us, my brother and my sister and I, you know, it was still abuse when we left home and we would be in, let's say, public school arena.
Tell us about you're in sixth grade, and you know we have a strong patriotic movement across the nation. You're a young man. You're down in Boynton Beach. You're in a classroom. What happened to you?
My sixth grade teacher noticed that I didn't salute the flag.
Why didn't you?
Because Jehovah's Witnesses don't salute the flag on basis of being against their religious principles of you can only worship Jehovah God. And, of course, flag saluting is, you know, I will give my life for that flag. I worship that flag. That's a worship.
To them,
yes.
Yeah, which we...
And in fact... They, back in 1943, went to the Supreme Court.
And they won.
And they won the judgment.
The right to do that.
Yeah, they won the right to do that. It was deemed by the Supreme Court at that time to, yeah, that's okay. You don't have to salute the flag if it is a religious objection.
But you're in sixth grade. You're a kid. And the students are saying what?
Yeah.
Commie?
Yeah,
you're a commie?
Yeah. Well, how come you don't salute the flag? What are you, a communist or something?
Yeah. Yeah, so you deal with this kind of stuff, and of course the teachers are bringing this out.
It was tough. It was peer pressure at the peak of pressure.
So the Jehovah's Witnesses, you have great parents as far as parents caring for their children and all of that. You have strong family ties, but you have the Jehovah's Witnesses basically has so much criticism and so many rules and regulations and isolation.
Oh yeah,
there was a lot of isolation. Yeah. I read in your story.
Oh, absolutely, because you know, I didn't have friends come over after school because they were bad association. You know, if they weren't Jehovah's Witnesses, then that was bad association. And as you know, bad association spoils useful habits.
So you're isolated in school.
Yes.
What about sports? Could you get involved in sports?
Couldn't get involved in any sports. And yeah, it was just not...
Because you couldn't mix.
No, because that would take you away. Let's say that you wanted to be in a play at you know, you wanted to be in
school,
the drama
sure.
club in,
yeah.
In high school. You couldn't do that because that would take you away from meetings that you needed to attend. You had to attend five meetings every week, and you had to be there. And yeah. if that took you away from that, if that was a distraction.
This is like a closed system, isn't it?
It is absolutely a brainwashing of...
An intensity
immense,
that you cannot imagine.
Immense proportion.
So people are locked in. They're yeah. literally brainwashed and locked in,
mm-hmm.
and they do everything they can as the parents have this sense of judgmental responsibility because they're always under the thumb of what, the elder? The elders?
Oh, yes, absolutely. The elders.
Judgment?
Yes, it's always the elders that will bring the judgment. And, you know, and they will write the society in Brooklyn, New York. Well, it used to be Brooklyn, but now it's somewhere else in New York because they sold all that property. Huge amount of money in Brooklyn Heights. I mean, if you ever go there in Brooklyn Heights to try to rent an apartment, whew, unbelievable. But anyway, I digress. The elders would make the decision whether you would be going to be disfellowshipped. Or just be reprimanded.
Oh, so you could be cut out, mm-hmm. or and so you could be ostracized totally.
Mm-hmm.
But this, they took control over everything from what you wore,
yes.
clothing.
Yes,
they could place judgments on your clothing. It had to do with jobs. This impacted your father's and even your ability,
and even my ability to be in the broadcasting. That's why I look on careers. Of other Jehovah's Witnesses, you see people like Prince and Michael Jackson,
Yeah.
Who were both Jehovah's Witnesses.
Really?
Yes. They were Jehovah's Witnesses. Their family were in Jehovah's Witnesses, and that put immense pressure on them.
Wow.
And I can understand why both of those entertainers ended the way they did. Now I look at people like the Williams sisters, you know, that one of them has just gotten out of tennis and the other one is still in.
Jehovah's Witnesses as well.
They're Jehovah's Witnesses as well. And it's just, you know, that's a very difficult line to try to follow. But, you know.
How did God break into this mold? You're a young man. I read something about a vision.
Yes. I had a vision early in my...
God was after you.
Yeah, in my life. I was 12 years old.
I love it. Thank you for putting it in the book.
Yes. I was 12 years old, and I was at my grandparents' home in Columbus, Ohio, and I had this vision of Christ, I believe it was Christ, coming to me in a vision, and I was suddenly back at my house in my dream in Boynton Beach, and he came and was standing right in front of me, and he didn't speak any words, but I heard what he had to say in my mind,
mm-hmm.
and he told me that I was going.
What did he look like?
He was black. He had just silver hair. And very bright, extremely bright clothing. You know, the whole experience was just extreme. It was like a ball of the sun coming, but then he stood right before me, and he said, "You're going to have a sister." And
was mom pregnant?
Mom was pregnant.
Okay, no one knew. No ultrasound.
No ultrasound. You know, wasn't, you know, it was.
So you're going to have a.
It was the dark ages.
Yeah, you're going to have a sister.
Yeah, going to have a sister. And, and I want you and your brother to,
get along better.
Get along better. Yeah. And.
Little family ministry from Jesus.
You know, this vision. I woke up and I was like frightened, you know. Yeah. And I raced downstairs to see if my grandparents were still there, you know, so they were. And, I never forgot that.
And your sister came along.
And my sister, yes, that was in July, and my sister was born in September.
And you knew that. That was just a God revelation to you.
Yeah.
Mm. And, you know, right now there are literally thousands of Muslims that are coming to faith because they're having visions, and I've actually been able to have some interaction with one personally in Israel, from Jordan, who had a vision of Christ. And some people don't believe in dreams and visions from God's perspective, but God is doing that. So God's knocking on your door,
mm-hmm.
and you had a few of those, didn't you? What are some of the other ways God knocked on your door? You're a young man. Your father's in broadcasting. You're kind of being wrestled back and forth because of the Jehovah Witnesses leaders who are not supporting the business because of your exposure. And you're working in places where they talk about Christmas. And that's another whole thing, right? No birthdays.
No birthdays, no holidays. And so here you are doing a commercial about there's a Christmas sale going on at Penny's.
And you can't do it.
And no, they said, no, you can't do those anymore. You can't do that. And then, you know, if there was something on the, we used to do live public service announcements. And the Bloodmobile will be at the corner of Walk and Don't Walk in West Palm Beach, and if you'll give a pint of blood, we'll give you a couple of movie tickets, you know, that sort of thing.
Wow.
And we couldn't do that because, well, Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe in blood transfusions. They don't believe in taking blood in any form. And so that was another.
This your sister or your child that had the injury that really was an awakening?
That was my daughter.
Your daughter, what, about three, 4 years old?
My oldest child, she was about, I want to say, three. Yeah, I think.
Beautiful.
I was 3 years old.
You put the picture in here. It's awesome.
Yeah, and it was not too long after she had had her experience of getting her tongue ripped open. And
Bleeding
profusely. Mm.
I'm thinking about, you know, your wife saying, don't swallow the blood.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah,
that's because that had so been drilled into.
Yes. Again, part of that that brainwashing.
But you were already changing. You were awakening because you you sort of made the decision, if my daughter's, if it's her life or a blood transfusion,
she's gonna
you would have went ahead with it, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah. I would have definitely. I would have definitely broken the rule, you know. And this is coming from a guy who was at that time, I was placed in the congregation as a ministerial servant.
And right.
I was on my way to becoming an elder in the Jehovah's Witnesses.
What was the training called for speaking in public?
Theocratic Ministry School.
Theocratic Ministry School. You were kind of like a poster child, weren't you? Your parents were on stage at all these big assemblies. I mean, your family. We're gonna run out of time, so I want to jump ahead, and please plan to come back and be with us, because this is something that we really need to share. Our people need to hear this story.
I will. Lord willing, I will.
Lord willing, that's a good way to put it. So God's working in your life. How did you come to Jesus?
I came to Jesus in, the Holy Spirit tapped me on the shoulder, literally.
Was the accident a big part of that?
The accident was a great big part of that.
30 feet into a ravine?
Yeah, I rolled a truck three times down a 30-foot in, ravine.
Your life is coming apart. You're scrambled. You're pursuing. You're in the Jehovah Witnesses. Mm-hmm. You're teaching. You're traveling, and your marriage is breaking up.
Yeah, it's
and you have this accident.
That was almost the end of my life right there. But it was the end of my life.
It was a miracle, really. God saved you.
Yes, as a Jehovah's Witness, because that I looked at the truck after the accident, and I could not understand how I could be alive, because the entire cab was just crushed in. There was no windshield or anything, and I said, God, you must have some sort of purpose for me to continue on living on this earth. What is it?
More than a hope, so maybe.
Yes, please.
You must have something. You must be absolutely real, and you have something for my life.
Yeah, please let me know what it is. And then I just, my mother came to me at that time, and she said...
She was out already, right? Well, Your mom and dad were already out of the Jehovah's Witnesses.
They were rushing to the exit, you know? And...
Your wife wasn't so much there either, was she?
No, she was. She was.
She never bought into all of that.
She never bought into the dogma at all. I mean, she was just, she was holding the hand of another parent that said, oh, yeah, I think I want to be a Jehovah's Witness. No, I don't. Yes, I do. Oh, no, I don't. You know.
But in your book, you talk about how she would read the context.
Yes.
And not just read the storyline.
Yes. I said, now see... There you go. You're reading outside of what the organization is telling you. Don't read the context. Just read that scripture, and then it'll become clear to you. Well, she was doing the correct thing, and that was putting it in the what was the context of this scripture? And that's the way we need to read the Bible, looking at it from the basis of not just taking John 3:16 and saying, okay, well, that's it. You know, take John 3 and read it all the way through.
Mary, you have this awakening. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You have the accident. I read about you being invited by a sister to a Presbyterian church.
Yes.
That was definitely, they were focused on the word. And I was thrilled. They talked about a personal relationship with God.
Yes.
I read in your book about a dear friend of mine that's now with the Lord, Elsie Campbell.
Yes.
You were a part of some of the, I'm sure it was awesome ministry with LC. He was really a prince in our city. We thank God for his life and ministry.
Dear friend.
And God kind of moved you around, and you ended up having, were you involved with Crecio? Or?
Yes, I still am. I'm involved with the Crecio ministry, which is the evangelical arm.
It's powerful.
Of the Episcopal Church.
It's powerful.
At this point. And
people are born again there.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I was raised down in Hope Sound, and we weren't sure anybody was really born naked to heaven but us, so we had our own problems.
Sure.
But, you know, yeah. I'm reading your book, and I read about the passion,
yes,
how God brought you into St. Mary's here in town,
yes,
and Episcopal Church, I should,
yes,
say.
Yes.
And how your family has grown in the Lord, but you have a lot of, God did a lot of things, and we're going to have to bring you back.
I'm coming back.
If you'll stick around with us, Ma and Paul, I'm afraid, you know, they're just not going to, their ticker's not going to make it if we don't let them share. And we do have prayer and share coming up. Listen, you are listening to Wednesday Live. This is WCNO in Palm City, Florida, 89.9. You do want to keep your dial set right here. And we have had Barry Grant Marsh with us, witness tampering, my story of coming to Christ out of Jehovah Witnesses, and this is a powerful story. You need to know that God is saving Jehovah Witnesses.
Yes.
God is the power of the gospel and the work of the Holy Spirit is greater than the darkness and deception of the Jehovah Witnesses. And you need to know how to pray, and we're going to have to get back to that, Barry, because you lay some steps out. The testimony of your mama, mm-hmm, the testimony of your fathers in this book.
Yes.
They are powerful witnesses.
Yes, they are.
To what Christ did in their life to bring them out. If you can stick around, I want you to close today in a few moments after Mom Paul's here, and just pray for our families that God would bring deliverance and salvation to those who are bound. And again, you're listening, you have family members, you want to know how to speak to people at your door. This is a great tool to help you in being equipped to do that.
Amen. And that's why it was written.
That's what your door written. All right, if you're going to stick around, Ma and Paul, welcome to the studio. You know, all of our faithful WCNO listeners have heard our spots promoting the upcoming Spring Prayer and Share. We're starting a bit early this time, Monday, March the 20th, and we have scheduled 2 weeks of on-air fundraising on the weekdays till Friday, March the 31st. Every day we'll begin at 7 a.m., end it by 6 p.m. Ma and Paul have been dedicated supporters of this broadcast ministry. Throughout the years, they've been prayer warriors, volunteers, and always they have given generously at every prayer and share. When Ma and Paul pray together, they find that sharing their spiritual impressions with each other helps clarify any guidance the Holy Spirit might be giving them. This time, Paul seems to be going off on a tangent, and we're not quite sure where that's going to take him.
Hey, Ma, you got a minute?
Yeah, sure do. You look like a man on a mission. What's on your mind?
Well, I just spent a couple hours in prayer for WCNO. Yeah, I've been getting something I just got to share with you. I really don't know what it means, but you always help me figure out things when I'm confused.
Well, I'm glad to help, Pa. We do think a little bit differently. You get a whole passel of ideas because you're a visionary, but you don't always know how to put them into action. I got a gift of discerning how things can work, if they can work at all. That's why we make a good team.
Amen. Anyway, I've got to tell you this much right at the beginning. My ideas are kind of splashy.
Splashy? Can you be a little bit more specific?
That's like this, Ma. In the past, them prayer and shares at WCNO have been well done. But there's nothing like getting the listeners really excited.
What do you mean? Can't you remember whenever they have success in making a matching funds, there's excitement? And when they get closer to their goal, there's excitement. And then they make their goal, the excitement is through the roof.
Well, of course, I know that, but they don't have anything that really captures the interest of the average listener. What came to me could fix that.
Well, I'm almost afraid to ask you for details. I well remember some of your ideas that were not only ineffective, but downright dangerous.
Well, I'll give you a heads up on what I got in my head, and you be the judge about danger, okay? So, first, you know when they cross a $5,000 threshold, they play that hallelujah chorus from the Handel's Messiah? Well, how about, instead of playing the recording, the entire WCNO staff sings it? Well, that'll get the listener's attention, and it will make it more personal.
Okay, first off, your idea ain't necessarily a bad one, Pa. But you got to remember, we heard them sing before in the past. In fact, the last time that happened, and the radio was on in the hen house, several of our chickens passed out in their laying boxes. One of them even died.
Ma, I don't think we could attribute that to their singing. We did have the vet come and investigate.
Yeah, and he said the reason they passed out was too much excitement. If their singing did that to our hens, what would it do to people?
I didn't hear on the news of any illness or death blamed on the WCNO staff singing on the air. But, okay, we'll just pass up on this idea. The next one's better anyway. So, do you remember some time ago that little AM station downtown that used to report the farm news?
Are you talking about WPIG?
That's the one. Well, one year after they got a new manager, they decided to generate interest in the station by having a pig race in the parking lot. Oh, a couple of hundred folks in Bickers Corner and the surrounding county came.
Yeah, and that whole thing was an unmitigated disaster.
Well, who could have known the sows were in heat and that a huge pack of feral hogs would come bursting out of the woods behind the station?
Oh, there was pigs everywhere. The farm-raised sows were screaming in fear. Feral boars literally leaping through the air. Folks scrambling out of the way. Some even climbing up to the trees. Pa, it was horrible.
Well, I'll admit there was a certain failure on the part of the event planners, but, you know, the idea was sound. It did get the people out, didn't it?
Well, yes, it did. And a week later, WPIG went out of business. They didn't survive that negative public opinion.
Well, I guess I better move on to the other idea I had.
Well, look, Pa, if all your ideas are like the last one, I think you better stop right here and get back into prayer.
Well, Ma, I didn't start with my best ideas. Give me a chance.
Well, I am not optimistic at all, Pa. But all right, go ahead.
Okay, so you've been to the WCNO station, right?
Yeah, it's on Map Road in Palm City. Of course I've been there. We've both been there several times in any year.
Ma, that was a rhetorical question anyway.
I think that word is rhetorical.
Whatever. The point is, you got to have a good memory of what it looks like. That yellow and blueberry-colored building is on one side of Map Road, right? And there's only a sidewalk with woods on the other side. So, here's what they can do. Set up a zip line that runs from the concrete power pole next to the station all the way across Map Road with just the other end above the sidewalk. Now, listen to this. When they make those $5,000 increases, one of the staff will take the zip line over the road and land on the other side. Once there, they'll update a tally board set up next to the sidewalk in the view of everyone on the road till they reach their goal. Oh, my crowd will form, and all them cheering folks will be an inspiration to those listening in. Why, they could even set up a live streaming video on their Facebook account.
Oh, Pa, I know you mean well, but just think a bit harder. None of them WCNO staff folks are in the kind of physical shape to be taking a zip line over the road several times a day.
Wait, there's four of them, Ma. They could take turns, you know?
Pa, asking any of them to do a zip line even once is out of the question. You may as well ask them to bounce off a trampoline, do a triple flip over the road, and then land on a stack of used tires.
How did you know that was my alternate plan to the zip line?
Well, I didn't, but before you go any further, let's just take a breather, shall we? I know you're excited about this upcoming prayer and share, and I also know you love the WCNO ministry and the folks who staff it. I know this, but we got to figure that if God wanted them to do any of that extreme stuff, they would have already been working on it.
Well, you know, they laughed at Thomas Edison, too. Okay. Yeah, you've just brought my idea spray to a screeching halt. And I guess on a poor sober reflection, you're right again. I don't know why I get so involved in what's clearly stupid ideas.
Well, at the heart of it, Pa, you care deeply about WCNO and their broadcast ministry. And you understand just how important fundraising is for them. So, your core motives are sound, but your unbridled imagination crosses the boundaries of practicality. That's all.
So, all right. So how can we help them?
Well, we do what we've always done. We pray for them. We pray for the listeners who have a call from God to be faithful and generous givers. That's what. And then we give our time to them as they need it. And we seek God's guidance for our financial gifts to further their ministry.
Well, you're correct, Ma. But what am I going to do with that 100 feet of braided steel cable I got for the zip line?
Well, you could set it up from the house to the barn. You could go right from your bedroom to the seat on your tractor without even having to walk.
Why didn't I think of that? Ma, you're a genius.
Could go.
Well, we do appreciate Paul's attempts to assist us in raising those needed funds for operations and, of course, the replacement of equipment out at our tower. We have found that our gracious and loving God is more than capable of generating high levels of interest in our listeners. His Holy Spirit is on the move, and we will all witness this movement of God in a most powerful way during the prayer and share coming up. The windows of heaven are open. A great shower of blessing is already coming down, and this rich abundance of God will surely capture everyone's attendance. Tune in Monday, March the 20th at 7 a.m. for the first day of prayer and share. It will make for a zippy start to your day and week. I'm so glad you're listening today. This is Wednesday Live on WCNO in Palm City, Florida. It's right now 11:57, and Barry Grant Marsh is with us. In just a moment, I'm going to ask him to close in prayer. Of course, we've been talking about the upcoming prayer and share. Ma and Paul gave us a little heads up on that, and we do have a little mail, Karen. We're just going to have to hang on to that till next week, or maybe even the next week. But Barry Grant Marsh has been with us talking about the story of coming to Christ out of Jehovah Witnesses. What a great testimony. Book's entitled Witness Tampering. Before I have him close in prayer today, I want to tell you what's going to happen next Wednesday morning. Jonathan Kahn, a well-known national speaker, bestseller on the New York Times, he is going to be joining us. We will have a live interview with him next Wednesday morning, 11 o'clock to 12, the whole hour. We have Jonathan Kahn. We're going to be talking about his most recent book that's been released, The Return of the Gods. And this is a most prophetic exposure of what is taking place right now in America. And Jonathan Kahn is also, I have to give you some news that's out a little way, but I have to tell you that Jonathan Kahn is going to be the guest at the Treasure Coast National Day of Prayer. He will be coming to the Treasure Coast of Florida and will be speaking. This is an event that will be held at the Mid-Florida Event Center in Port St. Lucie. We're only going to have about 1,000 seats, and we look to pack the center out that evening as we have an evening of prayer, bringing together civic leaders, ministry leaders, as well as business owners, as we seek God for a great awakening and revival in our land. So that's coming up next week. Get the word out. Karen, we might even be able to sneak some trailers in.
Yes, we'll try to put some of those together to
put some things together to keep you reminded, because this is going to be a powerful interview next Wednesday morning with Jonathan Kahn. Get the word out.
And this is his third visit with us.
Actually, the fourth. Yeah,
fourth.
This will be the fourth time on
that's
the
right.
air
yep.
with him. And so, you know, God obviously has given him a heart for our nation. He's a messianic rabbi that I tell him he's a shofar in the mouth of God.